But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all?
Chapter 9. It's instinct more than any conscious thought that has Fives wrenching back, blaster up and swinging before he can even register the motion. He doesn't have time to fire, but he lashes out, and that purple blade drops, the shadow behind it twisting away. Light flares, one of the crystals near them brightening in a wash as darkness falls like a blanket. In the gloom, the only points of light are the white crystal and the purple blade. Fives steps back, feels Echo braced beside him, and stares at that lightsaber, lets his gaze slip past it, just as the figure holding it reaches up. The hood folds back. It's a woman, a lean, raw-boned woman with a tangle of white hair, her eyes cold, her face beautiful despite that. She surveys Fives and Echo for a moment, mouth thinning, and then says, "Boy, wait." For a fractured instant, Fives thinks she's talking to them, but before he can even open his mouth to snap at her, John stops. He turns, glancing at her, then bows his head and takes a step back, like she's the only thing in the world that matters. He doesn't even look at Echo and Fives. The woman smiles thinly, advancing, putting herself between them and John. "Clones in a Jedi temple," she says. "Cool. How novel." Something prickles at Fives' nerves, something sharp and unsettling. She's a Jedi, clearly, but there's something off. "General," he says respectfully, "even so," and lowers his blaster. "We didn't realize there were any other Jedi in the area." Echo flicks him a quick glance, but doesn't comment. Just inclines his head, perfectly silent, and shifts back a step, putting himself in line with John in case they need to grab him. Fives knows, but he's not entirely sure what the two of them are supposed to do against a lightsaber. Blasters aren't exactly weapons made for fighting Jedi. Fives doesn't even know if they should be fighting a Jedi, but he doesn't like this. There shouldn't be anyone else in the temple. They barely made it through all the traps altogether, and this woman being alone down here strikes him as off. The way she spoke to John doesn't help. It just puts all of Fives' hair on end. ARC training is good for teaching people to listen to gut feelings. Even with the usual murkiness of Jedi nonsense, Fives has a decent sense for when things are going wrong. And this, right now, hits every last one of those alarms in his brain. A Jedi where she shouldn't be. John caught in a trap that's doing something to his mind, and she dodged. Fives swung the barrel of his blaster right at her lightsaber, and instead of cutting through it, she moved out of the way. Maybe that was just consideration for his weapon, but it still strikes Fives as wrong. Wrong that she struck at him in the first place when he's so clearly a clone. Wrong that she didn't actually do anything to him if she was intending to. "I found the entrance in the mountains," the woman says brusquely, and eyes them. "The boy brought you with him the whole way." The boy. Like John doesn't even have a name. Five contains the instinct to bristle, breathes in, and nods. "Yes, sir. He found us in the tunnels and stopped to save me." Most Jedi would smile, or at least take that as what's due. Her mouth tightens again, and she frowns. "Too much is at stake for him to make a habit of stopping," she says. "Attachment is the downfall of the Jedi. We cannot be too fond of anything, or we risk our duty." Too fond. like John's kindness can be distilled down into too much sentiment and discarded as a flaw. And John isn't reacting. He's just standing there, head bowed, hood hiding his face, not so much as a flinch to show he can hear them talking about him like he's somewhere else. Fives doesn't like that at all. John's been pretty quiet, but not like this. Not like he isn't allowed to speak or something. Behind them, the crystals on the floor are bleeding green, slow but steady. They were colorless before, but now they're the color of new leaves and getting darker. "I think it worked out," Echo says, deliberate, tight, and Fives only just contains a wince. He should have known that this was coming. "Sorry, General, who are you?" The woman's glance is impatient. "I have no name," she says. "Names are a sign of possession, and no Jedi should own anything. However, some people have chosen to call me the Dark Woman, and you may use that if you like." "It's jarring." Fives trades looks with Echo, and it's almost clone reasoning, but perfectly backwards. The beginning, at least. If someone's given her a name, though, isn't that just as valid as the one she gave up? "General," Echo allows, and Fives approves. Because, like hell, he's going to call her General Woman. "There was a trap back there, by the stairs." One white brow rises.
"There was no trap," she says. "The boy heard me calling him and came to help me. You will wait here, and we will finish this mission."
Unease prickles down Fives' spine, and he looks at John. "Sir," he says deliberately, and takes a step towards him, reaching out. "Sir, our..." The blade of the purple lightsaber comes to rest in front of him, a clear warning, and Fives freezes, stares at it, and thinks, starkly, of when they were wading down the river and he joked about this lightsaber John is after being a fancy color, like purple, he'd said, and John had flinched. "Boy," she keeps calling him, like she knows him, like she knew him as a child when that title fit, but
"I wasn't raised in the crush. My master found me on a planet in the rim when I was an infant, and she brought me up to be her Padawan."
"You are John's master," Fives says, and is certain of it. He meets her eyes over the blade of her lightsaber, able to hear Echo's sharp breath in, but doesn't let himself blink. "You were the one who found him." Her nose wrinkles just slightly.
"John," she repeats. "An undercover name he grew attached to. Do not refer to him as such. It's unbecoming given what he is."
Fives feels very, very cold and very, very angry. John chose his name. It has nothing to do with Dark Woman, and she doesn't get a single clerking say in the matter, but she's trying to have one anyway. If she's the kind of master where just the mention of her lightsaber spooks John, she gets even less of one, actually. "Can I ask you a question, sir?" Fives asks evenly, not wavering, not shifting back. Her lightsaber is still inches from his face, but Fives is starting to figure things out. Dark Woman scowls at him, but inclines her head.
"Make it quick. The boy and I have a mission to complete."
Fives tilts his chin, meets her eyes with a thread of defiance that's hard to aim at a Jedi, but she's not a good Jedi. She's nothing like the Jedi they've met. She's nothing like John. "Why isn't your lightsaber humming, sir?" he asks, and blue eyes widen. She jerks back. A blaster shot, loud, ringing in the darkness and the enclosed space, echoing through the open dome above them. The bolt streaks through the air, right where Dark Woman's head was half an instant before, and she leaps back, doesn't try to block the shot, but avoids it and snaps, "Padawan!" Fives sees the movement as it starts, the way the body beneath the dark cloak tenses. There's no time to shout, no time to warn. He just lunges, throws himself right into John as one of John's hands goes for his belt. John doesn't make a sound, but twists as quick and boneless as a snake. And Fives is good at hand-to-hand, but before he can even blink, he's being slammed up against the wall, head cracking against the stone. Pain ricochets through his skull, spots flare across his vision, and he yelps. Instinct says to go for his blaster, a vibroblade, something, but this is John. Close behind them, there's another shot, a woman's snarl. Fives doesn't look for Echo, doesn't look away from John's face, though, because John is staring at him. John is gripping his armor and staring at him, and he isn't moving. The look on his face is almost confusion, and he shivers, one all-over tremor, like he knows something is wrong. Fives' heart leaps in his chest, and he reaches out before he can stop himself. His hands find the edge of John's hood, slide under it, and he gets his fingers in thick, dark hair like he wanted to when they were kissing. And maybe it's that thought that drives him, just as much as the pained look on John's face, the frozen stiffness in his muscles. Fives meets those dazed blue eyes and says, "John, you saved my life. I don't think you're going to kill me now." John's expression twists into a deep grimace, and he ducks his head, breath hissing through his teeth. His muscles strain, and Fives curls his fingers into his hair and says, with all the certainty that rage gives him, "Your name is John. You told us that. Your name is John, and you're a good Jedi. You didn't become a general because you didn't want to lead clones, but you are leading us. You've kept us safe this whole time." Behind him, the green crystals flicker just a little. They fade, lighten, like some of the deep green is leaching out of them. And Fives grins. "John," he says again and tugs. And just like Fives hoped, John moves with him, lets Fives pull him up and forward. "You don't want to hurt me," he says confidently, sliding an arm around John's back. And it's risky. If he can't break whatever's holding John, he's not in any sort of position to defend himself. But this is a Jedi trap. This is a trap meant to be broken by people like Fives, who care enough to try. People who made it this far because John is kind and careful and so dead set on protecting them that he almost drowned himself for it. "Hey," he says, quieter, and smiles as Echo sets himself in front of them like a barricade, blaster raised. Doesn't look for Dark Woman, just focuses on John as he strains and carefully strokes his fingers through wet hair. "Hey, you're not gonna hurt me. I know that. Not either of us." John's fingers curl tight, fisting against Fives' armor. "Did," he breathes, eyes closing. Fives can't stop himself from leaning in, dropping their foreheads together. "Keldaba kiss," he thinks, and breathes out. "I'm a big, strong ARC trooper," he says. "I can take one bump on the head. Come on, you're scaring Echo." John's breath hitches, and he raises his head. But Echo takes a step back without hesitation and reaches out, grabbing John's arm. As smoothly as he can, Fives slides out of John's grip, lets Echo take his place and hold John in close right up against him. It leaves Fives with a perfect view of Dark Woman standing there in the passage, her form getting dimmer even as Fives watches. Her eyes are still glacially cold, and she fixes them on Fives like a threat. But she's too indistinct, isn't moving, isn't a danger. Cockily, Fives gives her a lazy salute, touching two fingers to his brow, and says, "Better luck next time." "Fives," Echo says, exasperated. But Fives just rolls his eyes as she flickers and disappears. When he turns back, Echo has an arm wrapped tight around John, who's slumped against his chest, and Fives takes full advantage. He closes the gap, fits himself up against John's back, and wraps his arms around him and Echo both, burying his face in the back of John's hood. "Criff," he says, "you scared us both when you disappeared." John's breath is rough, and it's clear he's not fine. But when Fives opens an eye to check the crystals, they're pretty much back to being colorless.
"Sorry," he gets out. "She was..."
"A memory," Echo suggests, and John nods. Over his head, Fives meets Echo's eyes, sees the kindling fury there, and tips his head. Echo nods and tightens his grip, then asks,
"John, can we carry you? We need to get out of the maze."
"I can walk," John says firmly, and Echo looks unimpressed, but he lets John straighten, pulls one of his arms over his pauldron, and takes John's weight.
"What if we want to carry you, though?" Five says, and it's not actually a joke, even if he makes it sound light. He pulls his blaster forward, though, steps over to the far wall, and checks for any more scuffed stones. "Echo, think we should trust that other path?"
"More than this one," Echo says grimly, and helps John closer to the wall. A moment of hunting around elbow level doesn't provide any secret entrances, but the next block of stone over has a suspiciously familiar scuffed stone on it, and Fives waits until Echo and John are close, then presses it. The wall swinging open is a relief, and he ducks in, gives Echo room to come through after him, and then holds perfectly still, waiting for the grinding rumble of the maze moving. There's nothing, though. Just silence and settling darkness. Slumped against Echo's side, John lifts his head, something in his expression lightening. He tips his head back, eyes going to the high dome of the ceiling, and says with a touch of surprise,
"This is the right way."
Criff! The wash of relief is almost gutting, and Fives closes his eyes, breathes out through his nose. "It is?" he asks. "You're sure?" Carefully, John pulls away from Echo, reaching out to lay a hand against the wall. Fives twitches, but John keeps his hand well away from the trigger, just presses it flat against the stone and says,
"Yes, the kyber crystals here aren't glowing red."
Fives pauses, trades careful glances with Echo.
"Red," Echo repeats wary. "They looked white to us, and then green." John's mouth twists, and he reaches up, pulls his hood off.
"The one by the stairs, too?" he asks.
"The trap," Fives doesn't say. "Yeah." He doesn't need to, apparently.
"That's where it caught me," John says, closing his eyes, and pulls his hand away. "The force feels smoother here. In the other hall, it felt like it was draining me."
"Just tossing him out of that passage would probably have been enough to break the spell then," Fives thinks. And it's a relief to have another way to fix things if it happens again. The crystals got darker green the longer that memory talked, he says. "Dark woman or whatever, like they were sucking the force out of you." He hesitates, then takes a step forward, touching John's back gently. "You picked John as your name, right?" There's a long, long pause, and then John nods just once.
"I did," he says. "She never named me, but I wanted a name. And when I used this one undercover after I was knighted, it fit."
Fives needs to kiss him. Wants it like he hasn't wanted anything in a very long time. And he starts to take a step. Hesitates. Frozen. Because John left the flower room so quickly it seemed like he was running. He got caught in the trap, the same as them. And he wanted them. Fives knows that. Felt it. But what if it was just want? Echo, though. Echo has always been the braver of the two of them, the bolder, the more reckless. He steps forward, right past Fives, and says, John. Startled, John turns, alert like he's looking for danger. Echo, he says with a frown, and flicks a glance up and down the passageway. What is it? This, Echo says, bullish, determined. He catches John's hand, hauls him in closer, and Fives can see John's eyes go wide, the brief flicker of desire that's clear enough to be undeniable. And then Echo pulls him right into a kiss. It's an Echo kiss, the kind Fives knows intimately. And he snorts, watching Echo tip John's head and take his mouth like it's a competition. John makes one startled sound and then all but melts into it, a soft moan breaking from his throat as Echo deepens the kiss. It's bruising, desperate, the thank Criff you're alive kiss that Echo and Fives have shared way too often in this war. And by the time Echo pulls back, John is breathless, dazed for a much, much better reason than a trap and a handful of crystals. You scared us, Echo says. We didn't know what had happened to you. John swallows, closes his eyes. She was all I could see, he says after a moment. It wasn't you. It was... But I felt... I hurt Fives. No, Fives says firmly, and how the hell anyone could look at John and think his kindness was weakness or something that could lead to his downfall, Fives has no idea. He slides in, catches John's arm, and pulls him around. And as soon as John is facing him, Fives grabs him, wraps his arms around him, hugs him. Because, Criff, after today, Fives needs hugs. And he didn't have the Jedi equivalent of brick in his head. You stopped, he says, right into John's ear. And John's big body shivers, relaxes. He wraps his arms around Fives in return and buries his face in the curve of his throat and hangs on. And Fives turns his head, kisses his temple, breathes into the softness of his hair, and says, don't run away this time, okay? John swallows, then nods. The flowers, he starts, and then stops, short, furtive, guilty, like he's not sure he's even allowed to bring it up. I thought it was pretty clear, Fives says, almost a joke, for all he's deadly serious. We want you, and you want us, and there isn't a bed down here that will hold all three of us, but I think we can come up with something. Echo snickers, leaning in, and he drapes his arms around both of them. We've done okay so far, he agrees, and bumps his forehead hard into Fives' head, then John's. Echo! Fives complains, because that wasn't a loving Keldaba kiss. That was a headbutt. Quit! Echo looks unrepentant, because he always looks unrepentant. Kiss him already, he says pointedly, and then let's get out of here before the maze moves again. Fives laughs, burying his fingers in dark hair, and John's hair is soft, even with all the dunkings he's had today. Fives gets both hands in it, meeting John's eyes, and grins at him. I'm really glad we found you, he says, and means more than just in the maze. John's gaze softens, and calloused fingers catch Fives' cheek, tilt his head up. John kisses him first, and he's careful about it, delicate, almost tentative. With a hum, Fives pushes up, takes the lead, and deepens it, sliding his tongue against John's. John makes a quiet sound, intriguing, tempting, and Fives tightens his fingers just a little. Distant, grinding, there comes the sound of stone shifting, moving. John's head jerks up, breaking the kiss, and he spins around to face the sound, but it's too dark to see much beyond the next turn. The maze is rearranging again, but the change hasn't reached them yet. For today, Fives is willing to call that good luck. Time to run, Echo says, and grabs one of John's hands. Fives grabs the other, not about to let John even out of arm's reach anytime soon. John looks between them, takes a breath. This way, he agrees, and pulls them forward, down the blue and bronze-marked path, following the faint glow of the crystals towards the far side of the maze. What even was that? Fives asks, flopping down on a stretch of thick moss that covers the floor of the chamber beyond the maze. It's a small one, but there's a silvery kyber crystal suspended from the ceiling, glowing softly with what John suspects is refracted moonlight. It's soothing, settles nerves that are raw with old memories, and between that and the moss beneath John's hands as he sits down, he feels a little more human and a little less like a wrung-out rag. "What was what?" Echo asks, and takes a seat right at John's side, so close their thighs are pressed together. John considers moving away for a half second, because last time they were this close, they ended up kissing, but Fives and Echo both kissed him of their own free will, without any flowers to manipulate them into it. That knowledge jars in John's chest, curls through him like the heat of a fire on a cold day, and he doesn't know what to do with it, but it's good. "The memory," Fives says, sliding closer until he's leaning against John's other side. It makes John's skin prickle, and he has to take a breath, doesn't move away, doesn't want to. And that's something new, something on the edge of unnerving. She wasn't actually real, right? With how she went out of her way to keep us from touching her. And she wasn't right. John doesn't particularly want to think about Dark Woman. It's one thing to argue with Noel about calling her for assistance, but having her right in front of him, cold and brusque and eternally disappointed, shook things loose that John tried very, very hard to keep in place over the years. And then, "I'm really glad we found you." "No," he says, and his voice is a little rough, a little too quiet, but he can't make himself be louder. Not with Fives leaning against him, Echo pressed against his other side. "She wasn't real. A reflection of a memory that something here pulled out to blind me. If I'd kept listening, I would have gotten lost in the maze and never even known it."
"Fives figured that part out," Echo says, and curls his fingers over John's thigh. It's almost unnervingly close to when they were sitting together in the flower room. But there are no flowers to be seen here. That whole thing would have caught a force user, but anyone who brought someone who couldn't use the Force this far was probably a Jedi. "It was good thinking," John says, and Fives smiles at him, quick and brilliant. "I knew you wouldn't have just left us," he says, and John closes his eyes, unable to keep looking at his face. There's a quiet sound of amusement, then an arm over his shoulders, and Fives pulls him in, presses his nose to John's hair. At the same moment, Echo's hand presses flat to John's spine, and Echo leans against him, kissing the scar on John's neck. It sparks a shiver. John, too aware of every inch of his skin they're touching, and he can feel Echo's smile against his throat. "It wasn't the flowers," Echo says, low, and John breathes in. Breathes out. "They helped," he managed, even as he reaches out. Fives catches his hand, turns his head, and John kisses him, harder than he means to, but he wants, and Fives pushes into him, wraps his arms around John, and practically climbs into his lap, hardly about to protest. John pulls him close, gladly lets Fives drag his head back and kiss him harder, and moans when Echo fits himself up against John's back and starts laying more kisses along his throat.
"Don't think we need them," Echo says, and the scrape of his teeth makes John moan.
Five smiles against his mouth, gentling the kiss and easing it back, and then shifts up. Echo rises to meet him, and Fives kisses him, too, cups his face as Echo hooks a hand around the back of Fives' neck. It's slow, familiar, and John can't help but smile, resting his forehead against Fives' chest. Waits for the kick of longing and guilty want, but it wasn't the flowers. Definitely wasn't the flowers, Fives says as they pull apart, and he sinks back down, wrapping his arms around John's neck. Doesn't go for another kiss, but leans in, resting their foreheads together and closing his eyes. Carefully, John wraps an arm around him, feels a body on his right, and raises the other, and Echo slides right in, tugs John's head around and kisses him softly. His mouth is gentle, just a little teasing, and by the time they're pulling apart, John feels breathless, warm all the way through to his bones. Only a little further, he says, and knows it's true, instinct pared down to certainty with the touch of the Force. I think the vault is one level down.
So only 10 more traps between us and it? Fives says, rueful. What's next, do you think?
John grimaces a little. I don't think I want to guess. With a snort, Echo rests his forehead against John's temple, closing his eyes.
Do we have to come back through the traps? He asks. To find the doorway out?
That, at least, John has an answer to. Fay remembered very clearly sneaking out the back door with a pretty Twi'lek Jedi on her one visit here, even if most other things have faded from her memory with the centuries. Smiling a little, because Noel gave her hell for that, John shakes his head.
The rear door is 3 levels above the vault, but there should be a direct staircase, he says. From within the vault, I heard. It's hidden and not accessible from the outside, but it should put us near the entrance.
I think that's the best news I've heard since we got here, Fives says dryly,
then takes a breath and pulls away, rising to his feet. He offers John one of his hands, Echo the other, and says,
Come on, unless we're setting up camp here for the night, we should probably keep moving.
No camping outside the maze with the illusion of a murderous Jedi Master, Echo says firmly, and takes his hand. John does as well, and Fives hauls them both to their feet, then promptly leans in to steal another kiss, first from Echo and then from John. John doesn't object in the least. As far as missions go, despite everything else, this is easily one of the better ones he's ever been on. And the press of Fives' mouth, the warm curl of his bravery and humor, the weight of Echo behind them, is most of the reason why.